Hi, I'm Antonia, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Micah, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Jane, I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Savannah, a student midwife.
Hi, I'm Lucy, and I'm a midwifery support worker.
Hello, my name's Gulbano, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Abby, and I'm a birth centre.
Hi, I'm Gemma Murphy, and welcome along to our September episode. Yes, the autumn has arrived, but things are not slowing down at the RCM, with October shaping up to be one of the busiest months of 2021. Now, in the past couple of weeks, the shortlist for our annual awards has been announced, and there is great excitement amongst all those who have been shortlisted. There's extra excitement in the air because, of course, after a break due to COVID, this year on the 27th of October, the awards will take place in person at the Brewery in London. So I'm wishing all those shortlisted the very best of luck. And who knows, we may even have some of the winners on the podcast before the year is out. But ahead of all the glitz, glamour and excitement of the awards, we have the RCM's annual Midwifery Conference, which is a massive event in its own right. It takes place virtually on October 5th and 6th. So for this episode, we're going to look ahead at the fantastic programme of what's on offer. I'm also going to have some great conversations with members who'll be speaking across the 2 days. We'll hear more about their sessions, but also about their careers as midwives. The theme is Together We Can. And if you're an RCM member, you can register for free. So do go onto our website and register to attend the conference for free. You can book your place now on rcmconference.org.uk. Now, I did say it was a busy month, and earlier this week, the RCM's activist conference took place, and I'll be chatting to an RCM activist from Northern Ireland to hear how that went and more about her role as well. But first, it's time to catch up and check in with the RCM's Chief Executive and General Secretary, Jill Walton. Jill Walton, RCM's Chief Executive, thank you for taking the time out to come on the podcast. How are you?
I'm fine, Gemma. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. It's a really, really busy time for all our members, but we've been quite busy at the RCM internally as well, because we're getting ready at least for something quite big that's coming out on the 1st of October.
I know, and it's so exciting, and I don't want to let it out of the bag, Gemma, but it's something we've been working on for some time. We're launching it on the 1st of October, and it sort of, for me, signifies the future, a positive future for the RCM and all that it means and brings for our members, you know, and us. And I can't tell you how excited I am.
We're going to move on. Okay, so it's obviously been really, really busy, but as we record this episode, you're getting ready for your first physical in-person conference, isn't that right?
Yes, and the Baby Lifeline conference is tomorrow. I think we've been really looking forward to being in person. Eddie Morris, the RCOG president, and myself are doing a presentation about really the impact of COVID on maternity services and what we've done. But I think we're looking to highlight COVID exposing quite a shaky maternity services, but also talking about some positive things that we think we're making an impact on. So we're really looking forward to being together to be able to speak to our members and the wider maternity team tomorrow. We're really looking forward to it.
It's going to be fantastic. And just to see that the collaborative working continues with the RCOG and so many organizations for us, which is just brilliant, because we're really making great ground. I don't want to dwell on the negatives, but you did mention it, Jill. The pandemic has exposed a lot of holes in maternity services right across the UK. And really, I can't go online or, you know, working in the media office, seeing another story about a service that's closed because there simply aren't enough midwives or home births being suspended. And you are, and the RCM are worried about that going into potentially a third wave of COVID and the winter.
Yes, we are. And I think this is something that the RCM has recognised for many years, that actually underinvestment in maternity services is really starting to show. We need more midwives, we need more maternity support workers, we absolutely need obstetricians as well. And we will say that because it's, you know, we're all in this together. I think that shaky ground has also exposed the lack of equipment and facilities. But there is some positivity. We know that NHS England in particular has put some more funding into maternity, but we can't take our foot off this gas. We want to see a significant improvement in the funding for maternity services forever. I think we're worried going into the winter as well, because there are people who are isolating still and off sick. And, you know, we need a period of recovery. So we're really hoping that the NHS recognises that and really looks after its staff as we move into the winter. We would love more midwives, but actually let's care for the ones that we've got. I think that's quite a key message. Don't overload them with, you know, more initiatives, more priorities. Let's get the basics right. Let's support them in practice and make sure that we safely and positively go through the winter.
Absolutely. Now, talking about working together, a brand new collaboration with the RCOG and other organisations is the ABC programme. And that's basically working together to avoid brain injury during childbirth.
That's a really exciting programme. It's with this institute as well. So that collaboration, we believe, is fundamental to improving the safety of maternity services. And that key thing about how do we monitor to babies in pregnancy and in labour. It's collaborative because it's about women and their partners and the professions that deliver care. So we're very excited about that. It's a lot of money and we want to work with everybody to get this right. So really exciting. And also the Tommy's programme is another example demo of how we've worked together really closely with the RCOG, but also a whole range of collaborative partners to look at risk assessment in the antenatal period. So lots of things that I think are still really important to deliver safe maternity care, support our members and work really closely together with the, particularly with the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists. It seems to be working.
Absolutely. And for anyone who wants to read more about that or wonder how they could get involved, please do visit our website, rcm.org.uk. And there's lots of information on there about the ABC programme. Now, Jill, the 5th to 6th of October is the RCM's annual conference. Of course, it is virtual again this year. But I think internally and externally, excitement is really big this year about the conference.
Yes, I mean, there are some amazing speakers and I, for one, am going to listen to every single one of them. There's so much that we'll be able to learn. I think COVID has shown us new ways of being able to work with our members and do great conferencing. I don't think we'll stay virtual forever, but we may do something blended in the future. But actually, having a virtual conference over 2 days that's recorded so everybody can access it after the event, I think is a really good way forward. And I'm personally really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fabulous.
It's just brilliant to see how many different speakers from every part of the UK and every kind of, I'm going to say every type of kind of midwifery. So you've got midwifery educators, you've got maternity support workers, we've got the activist conference. It's all going on. Now, Jill, before I leave you go, is there anything else you'd like to let members know while we're chatting?
To say huge thanks. I mean, I've seen and heard how hard everybody's been working. And, you know, I take my hat off to you. You have done something quite amazing, keeping women and families as safe as you can during this very, very long pandemic. So huge respect and thanks to all of you. And hopefully I can see you in person soon. Thanks, Gemma.
Great. Thanks, Jill. This is the RCM's podcast. It's our conference special. It's a look ahead to those really important members that are featuring on our programme this year for the RCM's annual conference. And I'm so pleased to be joined this morning by Rosemary Idikai. Rosemary, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Gemma. How about yourself?
Not so bad. Thank you for taking the time because I know you're really, really busy. Now, you're a consultant midwife specialising in midwife-led care. You're speaking at one of our key sessions at conference this year. But let's go back to how it all began. How did you become a midwife?
I've always wanted to be a nurse. I remember as a little girl, my friends would ask me, what would I want to be? And I'd say, yes, I want to be a nurse. And they'd ask me, yeah, but what would you really like to be? There's no nursing. I'll still want to be a nurse. And as I grew older, this concept came into my mind that it would be lovely to be a British trained nurse. Now, I mean, growing up in Nigeria, I had no idea what that meant. But of course, we watched a lot of documentary and saw United Kingdom and England looking very very fantastic with beautiful trees, lovely buildings. And I thought it'd be nice to go over there one day and train to be a nurse. Of course, that didn't happen, but I had a fantastic nursing degree. I trained as a nurse in Nigeria and I qualified in 2000. That for me was really a fantastic opportunity to undertake the nursing training in the environment that I did, because all my learning, all my conversations with my lecturers and my fellow students prepared me for the journey I was to embark on, which has led me to where I am today. So growing up in Nigeria, of course, there's the issues with deprivation, with significant levels of poverty and learning to do a lot with a little. So that has sort of informed me into becoming the professional that I am today. So I qualified as a nurse in 2000 and then worked in Nigeria briefly for a couple of years before I came into the UK, finally living my dream, if you like, or fulfilling my dream to come and work in the UK. So it's easy to say I'm one of the many, many, many internationally trained nurses and midwives who are contributing so much to the NHS in many, many ways. And let's not also forget the ones, of course, who we have lost during the COVID pandemic. Of course, coming into the UK and living and working here, there was a lot of cultural changes, things that one needed to adapt to, yeah. And understanding hierarchy wasn't so much of a priority compared to what it was in Nigeria. So yeah, it was a real culture shock. There was a lot that I had to learn and then adapt to the language, the way the English language is spoken. But I did bring a wealth of my anatomy and physiology, which was very, very important to my learning that I utilized in training for my midwifery program. So I worked in critical care for about 7.5 years, and I then went on to train as a midwife in 2008. And I qualified as a midwife in 2010, full of excitement, with so much passion and dedication, really, to the role of being a midwife and, of course, a nurse, because I've always kept my registered nurse part of my registration as well as a nurse. So I felt very equipped to look after women. And I felt also being in critical care, I felt more equipped to look after women who were experiencing complex pregnancies, as well as also understanding the needs of women who have what we call low risk pregnancy. So I was excited to go into the midwifery profession, got my first job where I wanted to work, and of course, fantastic team of midwives that I'd worked with in the community, on the birth center, labor ward, and of course in the antenatal part as well, being able to support women and their families in really providing the care that they want and listening to what matters to women, understanding their perspective in relation to their care, and of course supporting my colleagues as well in achieving those aspects of their care that they really, really want. So I then worked in a few London hospitals. I worked as a band 6 midwife. I then went on to work as a labor ward coordinator. Nice. I felt I was ready. I was ready to move on with my career, as it said, and try and do something that I found more stimulating. Not that I wasn't stimulated as a band 6 midwife, but I thought the opportunity had a reason for me to grow, to develop, and to utilize the skills that I'd gained and leading a team of midwives, something to offer in relation to midwifery and leadership. So I took on the role as labor coordinator in, I feel so old now,
You're 2014.
And I did that for about 3 years. And during that role, oh my God, it opened my eyes into understanding the value, the sheer importance of leadership and how it shapes our services and how it improves the care we give to the women and how it molds us as a professional. I was challenged, and quite rightly so. I mean, life would be boring if there was no challenge thrown in the mix to stimulate us, to empower us, and to help us come out of our comfort zone, as it were. So during that period of being a labor coordinator, I started a master's in clinical leadership. at the Kingston University. And yes, it was really an eye-opening program. And I would recommend training or developing oneself as part of doing the clinical role as well. Not only does it take you outside of the clinical environment, but it helps you to grow as a professional. It's on your pathway towards your career progression. So definitely very valuable master's program. So I carried on as a labor coordinator. And then in 2016, I saw an opportunity to further utilize my leadership role. And I applied for the role of a clinical lead for maternity HDU and theaters in my current trust where I work. And I started that position in 2016. And I've also worked as a interim labor ward matron as well. Until recently, I started the position as a consultant midwife for midwife-led care, which I think is so crucial to the times that we're in right now. Women are finding their voice, quite rightly so. Women are choosing the birth that they truly deserve. And I think as a consultant midwife, I think this is the time really that we must stand firm for the midwifery profession. And at the same time, stand firm with our women as well, to support them, to listen to them, to understand, to plan the care that they truly believe will empower them, would help them to continue their lives in the postnatal period, feeling uplifted, feeling empowered, and feeling dignified. And let's not forget, a lot of our women are breadwinners in their families. A lot of them look after their families in different ways, financially, and support their families abroad as well. A good number of our women also have families in different parts of the world. And I want a situation where a woman can go home and be able to look after her baby, look after her family, and still maintain a good emotional well-being as well, because a lot of the care that we support our women in has an influence on their mental well-being. So for me as a consultant midwife, it is very important that we listen to women, we understand what matters to them, and support them to plan the care that they so well deserve.
Rosemary, that's such a good point.
So that's my passion.
Wow. Wow. I've spoken to many, many midwives, but you have truly worked in every single little pocket and part of midwifery. But that point that you just made there about women having a really positive birth experience, where they're put at the center of their own care, yeah, and they're going back to their families, like you say, well enough to maybe care for other, yeah, members of their families, and they've not had a traumatic birth. And that's, yeah, actually really important, isn't it? Particularly for first-time moms,
absolutely,
or younger mothers.
Yeah, absolutely, Gemma, you're very correct. And COVID hasn't made it easier over the past 18 months to a couple of years. We've had to change the way we work. We've had to reduce the number of antenatal visit appointments, antenatal classes. I mean, there was a point where partners were not able to come and be with their loved ones in labor, and that had serious implications for our women. And as you rightly said, first-time mothers, they had no knowledge. Some women hadn't even had any exposures to babies in their family. So all of these little things were significant changes in women's life. So it's very important that going forward, we're able to recover from the COVID pandemic, and also support our women in the recovery pathway as well, and always have that open door to ensure that women know that we are available for them, we are listening, and we are willing to change services to suit their needs.
I mean, I really like your attitude. It's so inspiring. Obviously, you're incredibly passionate about caring for women during pregnancy. You concentrate a lot of your work on improving outcomes and birth experiences for all women, but in particular, Black, Asian and minority ethnic women. And we do know that those, yeah, women have sometimes much poorer outcomes than white women. And your session at conference, mm-hmm, is focused, mm-hmm, around that. Isn't that right, Rosemary?
That's correct, Gemma, and quite rightly so. I mean, I don't know of any NHS trust in the country where reducing inequalities and experiences of women from Black, Asian, minority ethnic heritages is not a priority. It is actually a legal obligation. And I think it's one that we should continue to take seriously and put in the agenda, right in the fore of what we're doing, because it is so important. We support a community and everybody else feels valued in that community. So we can't let any woman fall behind. Our women need to be to be listened to. We need to understand the social implications that has an impact on a woman's morbidity and mortality as well. Embrace has made it clear to us, and even UCOS, the United Kingdom Obstetric Surveillance Services, has made it very, very clear to women that women, to us, that women from Black, Asian, minority ethnic backgrounds did suffer significantly with COVID. So we need to, as a community, as a nation, continue to keep the focus on reducing inequalities, because we can't say we're achieving healthcare for all if one group of people are being deprived or having some level of deprivation in relation to their experiences and outcomes in maternity care.
Thank you so much, Rosemary, for your time on the podcast.
No, not at all, Gemma. Thank you so much for having me on.
I'm delighted to be joined by Helen Rogers, who is our director for Wales at the RCM. But in this interview, in this day and in this time, Helen, you're also one of the main curators for RCM's annual conference.
I am, Gemma. So I'm jointly curating with Abby Applin. Abby can't be with us today, but I'm sure she'd love to be if she could. And the two of us are the professional curators. So we look at the content, we plan the conference so that it has balance, so that there's things of interest, and we give a professional perspective to all of the sessions so that we know that they're fit for purpose. And we work closely with the conference planning team, and that's Suzanne Tyler, who is our Executive Director for Services to Member, and Emma Barr, who runs all our internal conferences and works with our conference planning people, who are redactive, and without whom we probably wouldn't have a conference, because she's great. And it might come as a surprise to people to know that as soon as conference ends, we have a mop-up meeting within about a week, 10 days, and then we're straight back into planning the next year. Mm-hmm. I've been privileged to now, this is my second year helping to plan the conference, so it was a bit full on. And of course, this year we're virtual again, but it's still going to be an absolutely amazing conference. We have just fantastic speakers and fantastic sessions lined up for you.
But what I need to ask you about is the theme. So every year a theme for our conference is established. This year it's Together We Can. So what was the concept behind that, Helen?
We're still in a pandemic. Things are settling, but we're still there. And maternity services in particular were really badly affected. But everybody pulled together. You know, midwives worked with colleagues, with obstetricians, with everyone in the maternity team to give the best care possible to women during the pandemic. And we all worked together to support our members, issuing guidelines, advice. We worked in partnership with the RCOG, for example. And it just felt right. You know, it just felt that it is about working together. It's about delivering care together. It's about supporting each other. And just that collective collaboration. So the theme just seemed the right thing to do at this time. And of course, it's great because all the sessions have a Together We Can. Together we can improve safety. Together we can help midwives to support women, for example, which is our UK consultant midwives talking from their perspective in each of the countries around how they can help midwives to support women who want to birth, who may be outside of routine guidelines.
Yeah, it's a really meaty programme. And of course, we have gone virtual again this year, but we have had comments from members who were saying they really enjoyed and were able to access many more sessions and attend conference because it was virtual, Helen, as opposed to previous years when maybe they couldn't get time off work or they had caring responsibilities and couldn't travel.
Exactly. And it's not just travelling in the UK, but last year, you know, we did have people joined the conference from abroad. I believe we had somebody from Saudi, and I think we had some people from Australia, certainly Europe. I know that the Channel Isles, all, you know, on Guernsey, all the midwives got together in one room and were able to watch it together. So they had that collective chat amongst themselves, which was fantastic. So by being virtual, we've actually opened up our conference to the world. We want our members to join the chat, to talk to each other, to pick up on the sessions. And of course, we're being 2 days this year rather than the 4 that we were last year. It is more condensed, but it means that you only need 2 days. It's not taking up the whole week, which is a great thing as well.
Exactly. And it's important to note, if you are an RCM member and you're listening, you can attend the conference for free and you can register now. You should visit the website rcmconference.org.uk. I've been on the website this morning, Helen, and I've been going through the programme and there's just so much in there. You know, if you're a maternity support worker, you're a student midwife or you're a consultant midwife, there really is something for everyone in this conference across the 2 days. I did note one of the key sessions is a midwife from Northern Ireland, no less, giving a session about delivering specialist care. Is that right?
Yes. So we're really lucky to have Lisa join us for this session. And it's about the clinic that she runs in Belfast. And she works with particularly vulnerable women who have special care requirements because of their background or they live in areas of social deprivation. It's a very successful clinic. She's been running it for some time. And I think it's really important to hear about these specialist services. And they haven't stopped during the pandemic. And you know, I think it's important that people realise that these women still need care and they often need very specialised care. They need lots of support as well. So I'm really looking forward to that session.
Helen, if I was listening to the podcast now and I'm thinking, I've never attended the RCM's conference before, and I'm wondering why should an RCM member attend our conference?
Well, I guess to that person, first of all, I'd say, why haven't you attended before? you have to. It's just amazing. And yeah, having been attending annual conference myself for a number of years, I always enjoy it and I love meeting people and I love getting into the sessions. But I have to say, I went to every single session last year because I was curator and helping, of course, but also I just got the bug, I think. Yeah. And each session just built on the last. You know, we have really powerful speakers, great session around safety. And one of the speakers is from a health board that's been in special measures and their journey. But that's a really interesting and relevant session for the moment. There's just so much going on. And I think we've been really careful to make sure that whatever stage you're at in your midwifery journey, or whether you're a student or a support worker, you will find something in every session for you. So we haven't made the sessions particularly role specific or anything. There is something there for everybody. So like the consultant midwives, it's about how they help midwives to help women. But also the support workers will see how they can be supported in that session. The session around we have leadership. Well, leadership applies to everybody. You know, so there really is something. And if you can't attend a session, because sometimes you'll have to make a choice which one you go to, you can catch up and it will be recorded and available by the end of that day. So you don't have to wait too long, which is a real bonus, I think. So you can watch it in your own time. There's loads around looking after yourself and resilience and caring for you. And of course, the RCM has been running the Caring for You campaign, which is now embedded. And we know that lots of health boards and trusts are already doing a lot around caring for you. But it'll be great to hear that session as well. So I would urge people, you know, if you haven't been before, this is your perfect opportunity to give it a go. Pop in, come and see us, come and see your colleagues. Great chat goes on. And it's just an amazing experience. And it hasn't lost the buzz just because it's gone virtual. I can guarantee you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, Helen, because I think you're a bit like me. When I'm physically at a conference or an event, I love catching up with people in between sessions or, you know, afterwards. But we have breakout rooms, don't we, at this virtual conference as well?
Yeah, so there will be an opportunity for people to interact. And also, there will be, you know, most of the sessions have Q&As. So you will be able to ask questions live and get the answer there and then. For people who may not feel comfortable putting their hand up in a big auditorium, because, you know, it's quite scary sometimes to do that, you can do it in the chat. You just ask the question. And we had lots of great questions last year. And because it's live, people will be answering them as they come in. So I think that's a really good way to interact as well. So there are lots of opportunities.
So it's virtual, but it's as interactive as ever. Helen, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Gemma. It's been a pleasure.
Now, this week, as we prepare for the RCM's annual conference, the RCM's activist conference took place. And I guess it's really important that I speak to an activist. I'd like you to welcome to the podcast Zoe Manali. How are you, Zoe?
I'm good, Gemma. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I've introduced you as an RCM activist, which you absolutely are. But just tell me a little bit about your day-to-day role as a midwife.
Yeah, I've been a midwife for 18 years, celebrating 25 years in the NHS this year. And most recently, I was a labour ward sister. And then on the 2nd of August this year, I took up a lead midwife in my trust. So I'm currently in a seconded post as the lead midwife for midwifery-led and community services. So that's what my day job is at the minute.
Because it's been a challenging time, hasn't it, for midwives and maternity services in Northern Ireland?
Yeah, it has been. It has been really challenging. And I think we thought it was particularly challenging in sort of the first wave of COVID. And what we're actually seeing now over the last 6 to 8 weeks, that we are finding it much more challenging this time around than we have done at any point up in the pandemic. It seems to have the troubles and the challenges that nursing have been facing all along that haven't touched maternity as much really seem to have hit maternity square front and center this last couple of months. So we're really feeling the pressure of certainly COVID positive women, and then the impact on staff and COVID absences among our staff as well. So it's a dual challenge for us at the minute.
Right across the UK, COVID and sickness absence due to COVID has really shattered some services that had already, you know, shortages existing. But you're doing a fantastic job, Zoe, and we appreciate it. And I know the women that you care for and the babies do appreciate everything you do. So as well as being that busy in your day-to-day role, you also managed to be an RCM activist. And actually, the Royal College of Midwives as a trade union is absolutely nothing without its activists. And the activist conference took place, of course, this week, Zoe. When did you become an activist and why did you get involved?
I am chair of the Belfast branch of the RCM, and I took up that role in January 2020. I'm not entirely sure how I ended up in that role. a little bit of coercion from colleagues, and I thought, well, I'll give it a go. And people would say I'm a born organiser. And
I love
and I like organising, and I never met a pen I didn't like. So it seemed like a nice fit as the chair. And little known to us that then COVID would hit within weeks of taking over, and that would scupper all the great plans we had for the branch with a new set of branch officers and reps in place. We overhauled the whole branch. It wasn't just myself. We got a new chair, a new secretary, a new treasurer. We also got two new workplace reps. We got a new learning rep. We got our very first ever maternity support worker advocate. So it was a whole new team. And then COVID hit.
can I just say, like, kudos for even getting such a big team of activists and a maternity support worker, and everybody's represented within your branch.
Well, actually, despite all the challenges we've had with COVID, we've had to kind of think, how can we relaunch the branch with all the new officers and reps in place? And how can we think a bit laterally to do that with all the restrictions on face-to-face? So we started off with a full-on branch relaunch on social media. We didn't really have a great social media presence, so we set up a Twitter account, we set up a Face account, we reached out to the university to link in with student members, And just all through COVID, we really tried to just engage with members on a fun level. So because there were no conferences happening and lots of things were stood down, it was more, how can we just show members that we're there for them? And how can we create avenues for us to get together and just enjoy some of the things that we can't really enjoy in real life? So we had online Zoom quizzes, we had giveaways, and basically if there was a holiday or an event, we used it as an excuse to make it an RCM event. Everything from Pancake Day to Halloween became the RCM Pancake Day and the RCM Great Pumpkin Fest. We had RCM Halloween pumpkin carving competitions. So basically we put RCM in front of every holiday for the whole of 2020 to try and engage with members.
What a great idea, though. I mean, that's really fun. And I know it's not easy doing a lot of meetings and working online and doing virtual events. Sometimes that seem really seamless. Behind the scenes, there's a lot of work that goes into that, Zoe.
There is. And we weren't trying to say this is a great intellectual contribution that we're making. This is just, we are trying to really push our RCM's Caring for You campaign and say, look, here we are, we're a brand new branch, we have funds to spend, and we're going to do it to try and help members just network, engage, and bring a little bit of joy to the workplace in whatever limited capacity we can. So that was very much our ethos for 2020.
Now, the virtual activist conference took place this week, and I know that you were chatting to members. Can you give me a little insight into what you were telling members at the activist conference?
Yeah, well, I was really delighted and surprised and humbled to be asked to speak at the activist conference. And it was really acknowledged for all the work that the branch had done. I think we had such turnaround of a branch that had lost some members. We were the only branch in Northern Ireland that didn't have any maternity support workers. And we have turned all that around. We have managed to win back some members who had defected to other unions. We are now in the double figures with maternity support workers from having none. So we were really, it was asked to speak at the activist conference to try and share our success story of how you can turn a branch around with not that complicated things, but those things I've talked about, engaging, using your funds to benefit large numbers of members. I think sometimes where branches feel like everybody's engaged because they fund trips to conferences and things, which obviously are important, but again, it's only small numbers really feel the benefit of those things. And so we were determined to try and do things that big numbers of members really felt that the branch was there for them. So we were really delighted to be able to share some of our successes and the approach that we were taking.
On the February podcast, we spoke about Caring for You campaign, and I met some of our activists from Cardiff. And actually, just listening back or listening to what they were telling me about the little ideas that went a long way and really kind of improved, I guess, morale amongst staff when things were tough. And it's all about sharing that, isn't it? And learning.
Absolutely. I mean, we tried to think of initiatives that staff could also share with each other, positive things. So we developed an initiative called You've Been Mugged, and we asked members to nominate a colleague, and it can be for any reason, for you've been a fantastic support to me, or just you're a great midwife, or you give me made a really bad day feel better. And we put loads of goodies, toiletries, RCM merchandise in a mug that says RCM Belfast branch, you've been mugged. And we fill the mug with goodies and we attach a little note telling the person what has been said about them, but we don't tell them who said it.
It's the best possible mugging in all sorts of ways.
Yes.
I've seen photographs and you get some nice chocolate in there and you get your branded mug. I mean, it's perfect. We could chat all day, but I wanted to ask you if there was anyone listening that was thinking, I'd like to get involved, I'd like to become an RCM activist. What would be your advice to them, Zoe?
Go for it. I think branches can only be enhanced by new blood coming in. And certainly that's what we find. A whole new set of officers and reps really rejuvenated our branch. I would also say, if you're going to join, come with ideas. branches are enhanced by people who have ideas, and it doesn't necessarily have to be big things, as I've said. Small things like gifts and rewarding individual staff make a huge difference to someone's day for something really small. Try and engage with members about what they want from a branch. So, for example, one of our big events we ran this year was an interview workshop, because feedback, we had a load of vacancies come up in our service for senior posts, and we had a huge cohort of student midwife members at the point of graduating. And we've realized that there was a real gap in the market for interview prep, both for senior roles and for midwives applying for their first job. So we ran an interview workshop and invited members and student members, and we had various speakers, right from how to get your first job right up to how to get a band 7 or 8. And the feedback for that was fantastic. So it's about thinking about things that you can do that respond to members' needs, that things that they actually want their branch to do for them, I think, and that is a big success.
Zoe, we could chat all day, but I'm limited on time. A big thank you for all you do for RCM members in Northern Ireland, and for the care that you're providing women and their families there too. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's a labour of love.
Really pleased this morning to be joined by Grace Thomas, who's from Cardiff University, where I actually studied myself. How are you doing, Grace?
I'm really well, Gemma. Thank you very much. And thank you for the chance to speak with you this morning.
No, it's brilliant to have you on the podcast. Now, you're a reader in midwifery at Cardiff University, and you're the lead midwife for education. But you've got many titles, and you're quite a busy woman, because you're also the Deputy Director of the World Health Organization's Collaborating Centre for Midwives and Midwifery Development. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. Yes, it's a very busy role at Cardiff University. And we are delighted and privileged to be one of only two WHO collaborating centres for midwifery development, and specifically for midwifery education across the globe. And we work very closely with the WHO Euro region to help them to look at developing more effective midwifery education, because we know, of course, that midwifery education is so vital for the improvement in maternal and newborn health.
So Cardiff University, in particular, the midwifery school is almost, I'm going to say, well, it is a centre for excellence in terms of midwifery education.
Yes, we're absolutely delighted to see that we rank very highly in the league tables in the UK, which is something the team and I are very, very proud of. And also the team, of course, is the students. The students are so much an integral part of our team, as well as our practice partners in the health boards that we work with. And it really is a collaborative effort to look at excellence in midwifery education, because it is a vital part of providing the best, the safest, the most respectful, evidence-based and compassionate care for women, for pregnant people, for their newborns and for all families. You know, we really in education are the midwives of the future midwives. So we're midwifing the students, if you like, to become the next generation of midwives. And it's just a really responsible and a really exciting and dynamic role to have. I feel very privileged.
Before, of course, you moved into academia, you worked as a midwife, and you also worked as a consultant midwife for 10 years.
Yes, I mean, I've had quite a long career now, and I feel very humbled and very privileged to have had a number of really exciting roles. They've been challenging along the way, of course, as well. And I took up the consultant midwife post at a time where the consultant midwife was quite a new role. And so it was really about carving out that path to what that meant, really. And it was really focused on development of service provision and really looking at the evidence base and the research evidence to be able to provide better care for the people that we care for. And it was also about integrating that research knowledge into practice to improve services. And so with a consultant role, there came that link with academia, and all the consultant midwife were involved very closely with the education of students, as well as practice and service development. So the consultant midwife role was at a time where midwifery-led care and midwifery-led services, the evidence for them, shall I say, was becoming so much more clear. And so working very closely in collaboration with a multidisciplinary team was key to the success of changing services. And it wasn't always easy because there's always resistance to change. But I mean, look how far we've come in the last, 20 years. And midwives are really stepping up and being that lead professional and are looking at continuity of care and carer so that women do get the very best in what the evidence tells us. And, we're fortunate over the last years to have had such good research evidence on which to base our practice. So I suppose for me, I really enjoyed the consultant role. And it was sometimes a lonely role, but I worked with the most amazing colleagues, both locally and across the whole of the UK, as we moved forward with strategic developments as well. But I think it was almost a natural step then into academia for me, because I'd had the taster of that and was keen to know a little bit more. So I made the leap, kept one foot in practice for some time.
Which is important, I guess, as well, to be, really aware of the changes that are happening on the ground and in maternity units, I guess, if you're bringing that into the field of education.
Most definitely. It has to be grounded in practice, but it also has to be grounded in what women, pregnant people, newborns and their families need. There's no point in us preparing the next generation of midwives just based on what we think. It really has to be what people who are using our services need. So that's been a key, really, development within our education services as we've moved forward over the last few years as well, is really engaging with and using the views and opinions of those we care for as part of our educational processes.
That's such a good point that you make, Grace, because I guess the demographic and the types of pregnancies that women have now have become more complex. And also women are choosing, and rightly so, to have children later in life. So I guess that's, something that needs to be considered in the overall kind of training of a midwife.
Absolutely. So, our education programmes have needed to adapt to remain contemporary. And, we're so fortunate in the UK in that we have got the NMC's Future Midwife Standards, led by Professor Mary Renfrew, and launched, as you're aware, at the end of 2019. We've got a very clear framework now with the proficiencies based on the evidence from the Lancet series on midwifery, on which to base our care. And that talks very clearly about the need for including the additional care for women who may have complexities and for newborns with complexities. But it also stresses so clearly the fundamentals of midwifery practice, which is a real understanding and an application of the normal physiology of childbirth. And that is just so, so important. I think one of the things that is most important to instill in our students as we go through is care that is based on respect and human rights, but also care that is based on normal physiology. And that is care that every woman deserves. In the standards, it's referred to as universal care. But it is so important that we get that right as midwives for all women. And then, of course, there'll be some women who need that additional care as well because they have some other complexities.
I mean, your midwifery work is really inspiring. And I have to mention, because I didn't mention it at the start of this interview, earlier this year in March, you were awarded a fellowship from the RCM for your contribution to midwifery and your long career. How did that feel? Because I know you're quite a humble person and you probably don't want to mention it, but how did it feel to become an RCM fellow?
Oh, my word. It is just such a privilege. You know, it is something that you don't boast about things, but I really want to shout about that, because becoming a fellow of the professional body that I've worked for alongside, if you like, the Royal College of Midwives for all these years of my career, and to be recognised as a fellow is just a fantastic honour, and I do feel really privileged. And it's been down to all those people that I've worked alongside as well. You know, I've had the most amazing role models throughout my career, and I've also been privileged to work with the most amazing teams of midwives and of lecturers and of researchers and of doctors and other multidisciplinary colleagues. And that all shapes the person that you become. But I think that part of having that fellowship is also to remember where you've come from and to stick true to your roots. And those roots for me are about compassion. They're about really caring about what you do and always remembering that kindness, regardless of where you are and what you're doing, kindness is always the most important thing, because that's what the people you work alongside, the people you care for, will value the most.
Now, we'll move forward a little bit to the, we're going to bring ourselves right up to speed. And as an academic, you will be no stranger to a conference or speaking at a conference. And of course, on day two, which is the 6th of October, you will be speaking at the RCM's virtual conference. The session is called Together We Can Grow Tomorrow's Leaders. And it really focuses on preparing midwives for the future and for their future practice.
Yes, I mean, it's great to be part of the session, to share the platform with the other inspirational speakers in this session will be amazing, because looking at the future education of midwives is so important.
So I could sit here all day and chat to you about your career, because it's been fascinating. But thank you so much, and we look forward to your session on the 6th of October at conference.
Thanks very much, Gemma. Lovely to speak with you.
That's all for this episode. Enjoy conference. Next month, we'll focus on the RCM as a political influencer. We'll also discuss more about the lobbying work that happens by the RCM on behalf of its members and by RCM members. It's going to be an interesting conversation. As ever, thank you for listening, and until next time, take care.